We're gone.
Welcome to episode 95 of Unsocial Spectators. Hey now.
Hey now.
This week we watched The Outlaw from 1943. So what'd you think?
It was too long.
Yeah.
But I guess we have the advantage of seeing better Westerns from these characters. So it wasn't like we saw anything great other than Jane Russell's cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the star of the movie, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. She was 11 Hussy.
Yeah. It was so weird because, like, there were these stories just around her breast with what's the director's name? Howard Hughes developing an underwire bra to help promote her breasts more on screen.
Uh-huh.
And so, but she doesn't show up in the movie for a long time, and she isn't really core to it. But she is the biggest advertising piece of this film.
Well, yeah, they were. I mean, she was. So, yeah, it was directed by Howard Hughes. Now, Doc Holliday never met Billy the Kid.
Oh, really? You know no. The history? Yeah.
No.
You know, when I think of these, like, I went and looked, and it was kind of fascinating because Westerns were the superhero movies of the 50s. Like, mm-hmm. They're just populated TV and film and everything. And Billy the Kid has been played by over a dozen people at this point. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah. And so, because I was like going, well, first one that comes to my mind is like Emilio Estevez in Young Guns and Young Guns 2. And, but then I saw Kris Kristofferson played him. And now I'm kind of interested to maybe track that film down because it was a Sam Peckinpah film.
Mm hmm.
But yeah, it's like that's the American hero is the outlaw, Billy the Kid, just the most stories. And then I even saw, have you ever seen Billy the Kid versus Dracula?
No, not yet.
We may need to put that one on the list for the future because it's kind of wild. Like, who thought of this and why did it happen? But Billy the Kid was. He was interesting in this film because he kind of looked like what a young boy band kid would look like. He looked like he was famous for being pretty. He's correct. Never dirty in the movie. He, like, none of the cowboys ever look like they work as a cowboy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, and Billy the Kid is the cleanest of them all. Like, he's clean shaven. He doesn't look rough. And if you've ever seen a real picture of Billy the Kid, as not what he looked like. He was pretty rough looking.
So, speaking of Howard Hughes and bras and women that look like Jane Mansfield, who was the Satanist, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So my aunt used to work for Howard Hughes. She would go into one of the studios and go into this room by herself, and there would be a one-way mirror in front of her, and he would just look at her for a while. Wow. And my aunt and a bunch of other girls, they all look like Jane Mansfield.
Oh.
They all had the same look. And, I mean, he, of course, he was a weird guy. He'd save his urine. He would grow out his fingernails, you know. He would hide up in the
his top mansion.
Of a, no, he was hiding in a hotel up in the
top of
a hotel. He's a fucking weird motherfucker. But yeah, just real crazy shit.
Yeah, and this is his second directed film. Like, apparently 13 years ago, he had, well, this is 43. So in 30, he had directed a film, and the director on this just left. So he took over, and you can tell during the movie that there are sequences that don't really match anything. So it's
I think the first movie he did was that, a movie about airplanes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was it.
It's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, and have you ever heard of a Western that used like wacky trumpet music to display comedy and stuff?
It was really weird. It was like the whole thing was scored by DeVol or something.
Yeah, it was like a cartoon.
You did Gilligan's Island or something. It was so fucking weird.
Yeah, because you've got these people who could kill each other, and then they're like, wah, wah.
Yeah. You got a guy with a trombone with the end of a plunger on it. I mean, it was an okay Western for the 40s. Most of the ones then aren't not really good. They didn't start getting good till the 50s and 60s, in my opinion. But, you know, it was all right. You know, I didn't turn it off. But, I wouldn't recommend it to non-Western fans, though.
I think it's more of it's a curiosity. If you're interested in, like, Howard Hughes or even Jane Russell, because it was weird because Howard Hughes went on a quest to find this actress who was going to be in this movie, and it became a big deal, but it was like, mainly he was looking for tits. Like, it just sounded like he went on the road looking like, I'm going to cast a pair of tits, and it's going to be the best pair of tits ever in the movies.
Who wouldn't cast
for tits? I guess if you've got that kind of money, you're just going to go, I'm going to make a movie with boobs. But what's weird is, like, she just is barely showing much, and they had to make cuts to even get to this part because they said there was too much exposed for that time period.
Yeah, well, you know, then they had a weird rating system and stuff.
Yeah, because that was it wasn't the MPAA, it was the Hays system.
Yeah, the Hays Code.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so what else have you been watching?
I finished the latest season of Welcome to Wrexham. I dig it. Like, now it's kind of motivated me to start watching soccer again on Saturday mornings and kind of follow the Wrexham team. But this season was like really kind of a tearjerker. They like really went for like almost every episode is like this emotional storyline from like kids with autism to the history of the town and how it used to be a mining town and the mine collapsed and they lost like 200 and something men in one day, just were trapped and killed overnight. And the mining company basically did nothing about it. Like they've just like every other corporation in the world. Right. They had all these different stories about like things the players went through and stuff. So it was very like, you know, like they have good sports moments, but it is very like emotionally heavy. But I love it. I kind of love the documentary story. And I don't follow sports anymore. So it's kind of interesting to get this because they do it in a very good storytelling style. So.
Oh, okay.
Shelby had watched Dairy Girls on Netflix. Have you ever seen this?
No, I haven't.
Oh yeah. You don't have, it's a great show. There are three seasons. It's on Netflix. It's about these girls growing up in the 90s during the IRA bombings. But it is, even with that heavy background, it's still very funny because these girls are very, you know, they're like teenage girls. They're very much about what's immediately happening to them and boys and dances and shit like that. But it is really hilarious if you get a chance to check it out. Because I came in on like season 3 and just started watching it and kind of just dug what it was and started back over at the first episode. You know who Tom DeLonge is, right?
Oh, isn't he Blink 142?
182, yeah. Well, but he's the UFO guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the fuck they, I've never heard of him. I don't really care, you know.
Yes, yeah, so he was in Blink 182 and left the band after they became really successful to go into his UFO research. And, you know, yeah, like, you know, he was going to expose everything, and supposedly he has, because now we have like documents and films that have come out, but there's still no proof. It's just stuff we've seen before is now the government says, yeah, we're not sure what that is. And that's it. But he did a movie called Monsters of California. And my library had it, so I was like, yeah, I'll check this out. I dig Blink 182, and I kind of dig his UFO gig. And it's not good. it's really bad because of one major thing. Like, he wrote this with like a 15-year-old kid, kind of a Goonies adventure type story, but cast like 25-year-old men. So it's really weird when they're just like making dick jokes and farting and like doing what you would expect, you know, kids to do. And there's even like one scene where his friend is like, dude, I just want to see your sister naked. And it just comes across creepier because the guy's so much older. But he was able to hire two real actors, Richard Kind Casper Van Dien, to be in it. So there was some acting in it, but it's about his whole theory on aliens and shit. And so it doesn't know what it wants to be. It wants to be this movie about aliens and cryptids and shit like that and ghosts, but none of it kind of fits together. But it also wants to be a wacky comedy.
Richard Kind is, I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who his best friend is?
Who?
George Clooney.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you would never think that, you know? But that's yeah, they're best friends.
Oh God, I want to see them like go out when they were both single and like sure. Richard Kind picking up on the George Clooney friends.
The scraps.
New Nick Cage film from last year showed up in my library called Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah, it was one of my rentals I picked up, and it is, goddamn, I cannot remember the name of this actor.
He always in the library, perfect. Isn't it is. Just the best?
It is. It is so great. I got to look up this actor's name because it's going to bug the fuck out of me. Joel Kinnaman. Joel Kinnaman and Nick Cage are in this movie together, and it's pretty much them. The premise is Nick Cage has taken this man hostage to drive him somewhere, and they may have a connection in their background. And that's really it. It is Cage at like full Cage. It's Cage at like a 9. And so he's great.
Oh, it's not 11 Cage.
And this is the interesting thing I've noticed about Cage. Like, if you've got a Nick Cage film like this one, it is very claustrophobic. They're in a tiny car together. They travel together. Everything is just basically either of these two on the screen. Where in a movie like Mandy, you have like an aesthetic. You have moments that kind of like aren't just the actors. Nick is, you know, Nick Cage in that is like fucking overload. In this one, he is, but he's not given, like, it's basically up to him to carry everything. So there isn't, like, anything kind of going with him the way Mandy has it, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
It's just kind of him. But Joel Kinnaman kind of, like, I don't want to spoil it, but I want to kind of get into the kind of actor he is and just his physicality, because he's a big dude. He played like Rick Flagg in the Suicide Squad films. He played RoboCop. He's not a tiny man, and they try to make him small in this, you know. And next to Nick Cage, they're about the same. So they put a giant shirt on him because he's obviously bulked up. They put glasses on him. They bring his hair down in front of his face, but he's still like a massive man. So when they had these fight scenes, you almost go, well, Kinnaman could probably kick the shit out of Nick Cage. But it's interesting. They go on a road trip and they kind of carry the film. It's pretty good. You know, it's great for Nicolas Cage, though. I really dug that. I watched Venom 2. And oh. I thought I had seen this, but I guess I hadn't. And so
I kind of enjoyed Venom 2.
Yeah, yeah. I dig those movies. I dig the Venom character and the way they've worked him into the films. Tom Hardy's great with him because it's like every movie is like a buddy film. You know, and
Woody Harrelson's really good at it.
I do love him as a good bad guy, and it's wild they picked him to be Carnage. I wish they had kept the hair in the first film. When you get see the extra credit scene, they show him with this really wild curly hair that Cletus Cassidy has in the comics. But in the sequel, they didn't go with it. And I'm like, shit, that would have been hilarious. Because he looked like a fucking Howdy Doody. I dug it. It's the weirdest thing for me in those films is Michelle Williams just is too good of an actress to be in Venom superhero movies. And right. She shows up and it's like, oh, this brings a little class to the film.
Sure, sure.
I got a couple more, but like, what have you been watching?
I watched Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Holy shit. I watched that the other Shelby had it on and I caught the end of it.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield. Real good film.
I thought it was Jane Russell in that one.
Pretty sure it isn't.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Is she, you know how old she would have been in that?
Well, wait a minute. It says Jane Russell in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell.
Okay. Well, it's it's an old movie. It's kind of cute. It's all right.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
It's fun. I mean, yeah. Like... you know, the movie has really, for me, always been known for Marilyn in it and her iconic, you know, dance scene. But Jane Russell's great in that, too, especially when yeah. She goes blonde and has to try to be Marilyn at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun. I enjoyed it. Then I watched Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I think, Catherine Bigelow's first directorial debut.
Oh, wow.
She directed it with somebody else, but it was okay. You know, I enjoyed it. She's a cop, and she's kind of like a... They say she shot someone and he didn't have a gun, but he really did. So this guy steals a gun at the crime scene and then he goes a little crazy and starts killing people with it. And like it becomes her boyfriend. And it's a real fucking weird movie, but you know, that's definitely
wicked shit.
Definitely worth checking out. And then, because of the Super Bowl, I watched North Dallas 40.
Oh, yeah.
I love that film. Just Nick Nolte is great in that movie. Mac Davis is great, too. Just really, really highlights how football was in the 70s, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, and it's based on Dallas, his stories of Dallas Cowboy players.
Yeah.
What I remember. And what I remember reading about it is the book that it's based on was so hardcore that the movie is an actual toned down version of what the players were doing. And all that, I always go like, people always salute Tom Landry as being like, you know, this coach for the Cowboys. And very respectable, but he kept all that shit on the down low. He was able to like protect his players who were doing some wicked evil shit.
Yeah, definitely. Then I finished watching Fargo. It's the fifth season. It's so good, dude. It's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, you Shelby definitely wants to watch it, so it's one I have to wait until she's available.
Yeah, you guys are going to love it. Then I watched Danger Diabolik.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking stylized.
Such a great, great movie, man. Just one of the great Italian films. That's what the Beastie Boys video was based on for song was it? Body Moving.
Oh.
Yeah, there's clips from Diabolik in it. And the whole video is kind of centered around that movie. So, yeah, if you ever checked out the Body Moving video, you'll really see Diabolik in it, you know?
Okay, cool.
Then I started watching Spaced.
Yes. So good. One of my favorite all-time shows.
Yeah, I'm having a fun time with it.
I mean, it's a nostalgia trip back to the 90s.
Sure. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. You know, I thought it was about space.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything. It's just...
Yeah. I guess I had no idea.
They were trying to rent a space. It's kind of like Office Space.
Yeah. But I really enjoy it. It's a fun show. Then I watched, it was a Stephen King miniseries called Storm of the Century.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was okay, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like the devil shows up in Maine and on this island and kind of knows who's all of everybody's faults and stuff.
Yeah.
And gets them to kill each other. So it's fun.
In that Stephen King way.
Then I watched The Wrecking Crew, which is a Dean Martin movie. Where he's like 007. It's okay. It's fun. But, you know.
Come on. That lineup. What? Dean Martin with Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate's great.
Elkie Summers.
Yeah.
Tina Louise. Like, it is just.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out, you know, but. Pretty fun. I mean, he doesn't sing, but like half of the songs are in the movie of his song. So, yeah, it was kind of fun. Then I finished watching Krypton.
How was it?
Really enjoyable. I'm disappointed they canceled it because it kind of started getting good, you know?
Well, that's sci-fi, man. Like, I don't know many shows that last one or more than two seasons on there except Farscape, which is...
Right.
I love Farscape.
Then I rewatched Full Metal Jacket.
Oh.
You know, because it's just so damn good.
Yeah, it is. You got to be in a mood, though. You got to be prepared because, man, that could take you...
Yeah, I mean, anything Kubrick is just fantastic. Speaking of Stephen King in Maine, I started watching Castle Rock.
I think I started that one time, but I never finished it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good so far. I'm enjoying it, but we'll see. It's kind of slow at times, but... kind of an interesting story. So I'll keep you updated on if it's worth watching. And then I also started watching Tokyo Vice. Have you heard of this? It's on Max.
Yes. Yeah.
What a good fucking show. It's about this.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure exactly what it's about.
It's about this American kid from Missouri, and he goes over to Japan, and he becomes the first foreign or American crime reporter for the number one Tokyo newspaper. It's really, really fun. And Ken Watatabi,
yes,
who I think is amazing. He's really good. He's like the police detective that he kind of becomes friends with. And he also becomes friends with a Yakuza guy, too. So he like trying to figure out what's happening is the Yakuza is having these loan sharks businesses that are loaning money to people. And then when they can't pay it back, they're having them sign these in Japan. The loan companies can take out a life insurance policy on you. So then the Yakuza is like trying to force them to kill themselves to get the insurance money. It's really, really cool, man.
Oh, fuck. That sounds weird.
Yeah, it's a good show. I really recommend it. And I mean, just the all the different, shot in Japan. Just really, really fun, man.
It looked very, like, cool. It had, like, a neo-noir look to it.
Yeah, it's definitely that type of thing. I think you would really enjoy it. Then I watched The Visit by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It's okay. I mean, it's not one of his better films, which has been going on a lot lately.
Yeah.
But it's all right.
Catherine Hahn's in it. That's the only name I recognize.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a found footage film.
No, not really.
Oh, that's what Wikipedia is calling an American.
No, it's not. It's not found footage at all. But, you know, these kids have cameras. And they're But, yeah, definitely worth checking out. But I wouldn't. I mean, if you're into horror and that's definitely check it out.
Yeah, okay. You know.
But definitely not one of his good ones. Then I watched Mortal Engines, which I kind of liked.
Oh, wow. I remember this. Yeah. It was like they made a big to-do about it, and then it just kind of went away. Wasn't this based on a series of books?
Yeah. I don't think it was... I think it would kind of flock, but I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, it had a $100 million budget and only made $83 million.
Yeah. Which, I mean, come on. It's okay.
David Lang is in it. I like him.
What else have you been watching?
I went back and watched the old Subgenius film Arise, just to get back in that, get my slack back.
Right.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen that in a long time. And it's so funny because I was recommending it on my other show with the updated movie about J.R. Bob Dobbs and the Subgenius documentary, because it's interesting to go from like this recruiting video that was about the Subgenius religion to this, to an updated documentary where it showed, well, some people took it a little too seriously, and there was this division in the religion where some people actually kind of worship what the idea was instead of just looking at it as satire. So that's where we are in society. I mean,
isn't all religion satire?
Yeah, but not enough people get the joke. They're buying in. It's so weird. You know where the old Scientology building was in Dallas? It was over by the Casa Linda area.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it like, did they burn down?
I don't know.
Okay, because I thought, I know they moved that to another center, I believe to like the Dallas Celebrity Center, and it's for sale now, like just the empty lot. And I didn't think Scientology like sold a lot of their land. That was the thing. They were just buying up property left and right.
Look, they're having a lot of problems, man. They need the money.
Yeah, man, I guess so. So I watched Scream 5 and 6, where they're kind of... Yeah, that face.
Six sucks.
Six absolutely sucks. You can tell that they kind of replace Sydney's character with Hayden Panettiere's character, which, you know, she felt like she was worth more to the franchise and she didn't take the role. So she was replaced, and I get it, you know, and if you get a chance to come back to a franchise, take it. But it was so much of a bad story. I actually was, when I was watching them back to back, I started looking on Wikipedia and got spoiled on six on who the killer was. But in five, like I knew who the killer was at the very beginning. Like it's so obvious. And then when it comes out that way, you're just like, oh, well, fuck, you know, who cares? Like, you know, and it's just a weird, like, I get it. Like this, these new people kind of want to do their riff on commentary of modern day horror within a horror film. That's also just a slasher film, but it just like, I didn't feel like I was getting anything out of it. About the only thing I thought that was kind of cool was the main character being Billy Loomis's daughter. And her still seeing him. So there was always this chance that she could be the killer too. But now she's been fired from the franchise. So pretty much this franchise, I think, is dead unless they're able to bring back Sidney Prescott and Courtney Cox's character, Gale Weathers. Yeah. If those two can come back and just do a film on their own, that's the only way Scream continues, because... These two were not good.
Yeah, they're fucking bad.
Yeah. The last thing I watched was Joe Bob's Valentine special, which was great because he showed a movie I had never seen. Do you ever see a movie where you've seen a poster for it and you believe like you have an idea of what that movie was and then you see it and it's completely different? I had never seen the movie Freeway, which the poster of it is just Kiefer Sutherland with sunglasses on and kind of this like 90s feel to it with like light tones to it. But it is a dark exploitation film.
Sure.
It is awesome. I had never seen it. So
yeah, I love that film.
So Reese Witherspoon is like a 16-year-old kid who all and it's based on Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, I think that's her first film.
Yeah, it is. And she rarely talks about it, is what Joe Bob was saying. This is one she doesn't talk up, but it's fucking awesome. It is so goddamn good. And Kiefer is just great. Like, I just love the way he played this role. And then Brooke Shields shows up in it. It's just a great exploitation movie that no one no one told me about.
Right.
But I kind of felt like I knew what it was. Like, I mean, when you say Reese Witherspoon, this is not a character you immediately think of anything she's ever done. And it is fucking hardcore, and I dig it. Apparently, that's her real Nashville accent, too. So, but yeah, if you've never seen Freeway from the 90s, it's totally worth checking out. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I love that film.
Yeah, that was probably the best movie I saw this past week, and that's about it for me. You got anything else?
Oh, yeah, I watched The Marvels.
I've needed to watch that. It dropped, and I fucking haven't had time.
Dude, it's so good. I really, really like it. I'm not going to spoil anything, but, dude.
Okay.
I mean, it's too bad it bombed, because it's pretty fucking good.
I hate that, man. Like, I just don't get it. But, I mean, I guess there are some people who just feel like this is not their film or something, but they're into all the Marvel movies. I don't know.
Ms. Marvel and her family is back, and they're just fantastic, you know.
They're fun. I do love them.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely worth checking out. Then I finished watching Nathan For You, which is so good, man. Just fantastic. Then I watched I, Robot. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
The effects don't hold up at all.
Yeah, they're really bad.
They really don't.
And the thing that bummed me out is I was a big Isaac Asimov fan. So, like, as a kid, you know, I read iRobot. I think I still have my copy of iRobot, and this is nothing like that book. No. It's so shit. I kind of hate on that movie because there was a lot of, like, Will Smith. Like, he took, like, that book and I Am Legend and turned him into, like, what the fuck is this? Like, I kind of hate the movies he takes on.
Then I watched Redbeard. It's an Akira Kurosawa film, and it's interesting because it's they're not samurais, they're doctors. At first I was like, oh, this sucks, and then when I watched it, I was like, it was a fucking pretty great movie. So, yeah, definitely check out Redbeard. It's on Max if you want to see it.
Okay, cool.
Then I watched Bulletproof Monk, which is about the stupidest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's based on a comic book. It's I didn't know.
Terrible.
Yeah, I wanted to see it because I was like, Chow Yun-Fat's great. I love Sean William Scott. He's coming off being Stifler. I feel like he could do action films, especially after the rundown with The Rock. But this movie is not good. It's trash.
Really, really, really fucking bad. Then this morning I watched The Faculty.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. Really fun.
Yeah. Jon Stewart just pops up in there. Coming back tomorrow to The Daily Show. I'm kind of excited for that.
We'll see about that. I think, at the end of The Daily Show, he just started kind of mugging for the camera a little too much, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We'll see. Do you have any news?
No, not at all.
So they confirmed Ahsoka 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The second season. So that's good. Yes.
Yeah.
And thank God Sonic 3 is coming soon.
To save the cinema.
Jim Carrey is made for that role. He's so good in it.
It's so wild. It's
worth watching just for him.
It's so weird that this giant comedian known for physical comedy in the 90s now is just voicing cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's huge. It's, I mean, he probably makes fucking bank off of voicing this game, video game cartoon.
He doesn't voice it. He's the live actor.
Well, that's right. He's the live actor in there. I forget about that. I, for some reason, I was drawing in him as Knuckles for some reason. But yeah, no, like, I'm too high to comment on Sonic right now.
Okay, so that's what I got. Anything else?
You got any Super Bowl prediction? Are you going to watch the game, or are you just indifferent?
Yeah, I'll probably watch. I'm watching it just for Taylor Swift. I'll probably turn it on. I mean, I don't care who wins, but
yeah,
you know, just for the commercials.
Yeah, that's true. I think the only thing I'm kind of interested in is I heard that there was a commercial with Aubrey Plaza reuniting with,
I've already seen it.
Okay, yeah, I figured they were all already out, so, like, I'm indifferent. I might turn it on, but I got other stuff I'm doing.
Okay, so next week on the show, we're going to watch Affliction from 1997.
All right. Well, see you then.
All right. Bye-bye.